growing up, one of my favorite shows was Gilligan's Island. Now I'm telling my age, but it was a pretty neat little old show. It was about these seven people, and they were all different walks of life, and they went out on a little three-hour tour, and a storm came up, and a shipwreck, and they landed on this deserted island, and the minnow would be lost. The minnow would be lost. And Gilligan was it was so funny. Their shipwreck turned out to be a comedy. But most shipwrecks are not a comedy. I've never been in a shipwreck. I'm thankful for that. I don't even like to go on a cruise. Pat and I went on one cruise. Well, I went on two. I went on my first and my last. But we went on a cruise one time, and I just don't like it when I can't see land, you know. So Pat may go on another cruise, but I think I'll pass on that. But it's not so with Paul. The Apostle Paul was in a terrible experience. You'd think that by this time in his life, after all that Paul had suffered, all that had happened to this man, the beatings, the stonings, the casting out of the city, the many things that Paul had to suffer while he was preaching the gospel, that maybe in these latter days of his preaching life that things would be smooth sailing, right? Wrong. Because Paul was to endure one of the most frightening ordeals of his life. In Acts chapter 27, the writer Luke records for us about this shipwreck. Now, Luke was in a shipwreck himself. And so it's almost like he gives us an eyewitness account of this the shipwreck that Paul was on. But the reason why I want us to look at this morning is because I believe that we can learn some things, because eventually all of us are going to find some storms in our life. And all of us are going to find that at some point we may find our life a shipwreck. So let's go and look at Paul's shipwreck, see if he can teach us some things that we can use in a 21st century world. It begins in Luke chapter 27 verse 1 by saying, "When it was decided that we would sail for Italy, Paul and some other prisoners were handed over to a centurion by the name of Julius, who belonged to the imperial regiment. We boarded a ship from Andromeda, about to sail to ports along the coast of the province of Asia, and we put out to sea. Almost immediately, things were not going exactly right with the voyage. In fact, we noticed down as we dropped down to verse 10 how that Paul said, 'Men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to the ship and cargo and a threat to our own lives.' But the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot and the owners of the ship. And so thus began this voyage, which was destined to be shipwrecked. Now, one thing that we notice in all of this is that God was always with Paul. God, we see His hand in this whole thing. It was not that God took away the shipwreck or the storm, but God never left Paul. He never left him to endure these things by himself. So God was always there. And then we see how this continues in verse 13. With a gentle wind began to blow, they thought that they had obtained what they wanted. So they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force called a northeasterner swept down from the island. And then Paul says in verse 18, we took such violent battering of the storm that the next day we began to throw the cargo overboard. And the third day we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up hope that we would ever be saved. In 1991, such a storm happened along the eastern coast. In fact, it sent the whole east coast scrambling for cover. And a writer by the name of Sebastian Jüger wrote a book entitled The Perfect Storm. Some of you may have seen the movie. George Clooney was one that played and starred in that movie. Perfect storm. Destroyed so much. And that certainly can happen because it happened to Paul. And in verse 22, he said, now we urge you to keep your courage because not one of you will be lost. Everybody was wanting to jump ship. And Paul said, no, stay together. We're not going to be lost. The ship's going to be destroyed. Last night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, stood beside me. And he said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep your courage, men, Paul said. For I have faith in God that it will happen just like he told me. Paul said, I believe in the promises of God. And I believe that it'll be just like God said it would be. Again, we see the hand of God even in the shipwreck. Can you just imagine what it was like going through this experience? What an exhausting and terrifying thing that must have been. So now let's talk about us. Let's talk about our shipwreck. What happens whenever we face the storms of life? And face them you will. If things are going good for you, awesome. I'm so thankful. But you have to know the storm is just on the horizon. So what do you do? How do we handle the shipwrecks of our life? I mean, I wish that I had better news for you. I wish I could tell you that there was never going to be anything happen in your life, that you're just going to have smooth sailing and the roads were going to be without any bumps or any problems. But I've been around long enough to know that that's not true. There are going to be some stormy days. And some of you are right now in the middle of some real tough times. I know that. I can't explain it. I don't know why. That belongs in the mind of God, but I do know this. I do know that God will never let you down. I do know that that He'll be there for you. But what do you do? What do you do when you're in the hospital and the doctor comes in and says the test didn't turn out so well? I'm sorry to have to tell you. And then he goes on. What do you do whenever your mate is unfaithful or he or she walks out after years of marriage? What do you do after having been in the wonderful time of happiness and ease in your office and your workplace, that these ominous dark clouds come in and your boss says, "We're downsizing and we've got to let you go"? What do you do whenever someone that you love so much, your parents or your mate or God forbid your child, dies? What do you do whenever you have problems with your children? And the list could go on and on and on. What do you do? Well, what you do is you prepare because you know that the storms are coming. You prepare because that is your best chance of survival. And what I want us to do for the rest of our lesson here, and quickly so, is I want to tell you some anchors that God has given us in this life to help us. Again, he doesn't take away the storms, because that's just part of living. People, we live in a world where bad things happen to good people. We live in a world where the storms, clouds will come. And so what I'm telling you today is prepare before they come. The worst time to learn how to sail a boat is in a storm. You learn how to sail before the storm. So preparation, prepare yourself. Find your anchors. Anchor number one, the anchor of spiritual stability. The anchor of spiritual stability will help us to stay firm. In Paul's shipwreck story, the folks reached a point where they had given up all hope. And Paul told them, "God hasn't left us." Oh, but son, it looked pretty rough. I mean, Paul was saying it, but when you've been lashed with the seas and battered for nearly 2 weeks, that's how long they endured this storm. 2 weeks. On a wooden boat, about 180 feet long and about half as wide as this building here. It looked rough. Son, it looked rough. Where is God? We ask sometimes when things get bad in our lives. God, where are you? God is saying, "I haven't left." And that's what Paul was trying to tell them. God had sent Paul a message. We have those same promises in God's Word. Here's one of them. In Isaiah 42, verses 1 and 2. Fear not, this is God speaking. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. You belong to God. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they shall not sweep over you. Those are promises of God. Promises, partner, that He will not break. Promises you can take to the bank. Here's another one, Romans 8, verse 31. If the Lord be for you, who can be against you? That's a good one. How about this one? Romans 8 and verse 28. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to His purposes. Or how about this one? Romans 8 and verse 37. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us and gave Himself for us. Or how about this one? Galatians 6 and verse 4. Do not be weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you just don't quit. Don't give in. Don't give over. Don't give up. Because your God has not left you. I don't care how dark the storm. I don't care what Satan has done to you to make you think that God doesn't love you. Because He does. And He'll never leave you if you don't leave Him. I like this one. Psalms 46 and verse 1. He is our rock and our Redeemer. Our very present help in time of trouble. God didn't promise to take the storm away, but He did promise to take us through it. The anchor of spiritual stability. I don't know what people do who do not have God to help them with their problems, their burdens, their heartaches, and their sorrows. I know friends and family are wonderful things, but there are times when only God can lift us up. The anchor of spiritual stability. But then there's the anchor of interpersonal stability. Whenever Paul was in his storm, one of the things that he encouraged the men to do was stay together. Stay together. He knew that staying together was their best hope of surviving. A lot of times whenever these things come, temptations and burdens and problems and heartaches and pains, when these come, what we want to do is abandon ship. We have this idea that we just need to cut and run. Just close ourselves off, retreat into isolation and shut the door and pull the blinds. But a better choice is to reach out for the anchor of interpersonal stability. Reach out for the support of friends and family and God's people. That's one of the things that's so awesome about having a church family. You've always got a family. You've got somebody that cares about you. That'll pray for you. That'll walk with you. Hold your hand. Reach out when you're falling and lift you up. That's why we call today Friends and Family Day. Because nothing gives us any more pleasure than sharing a worship service and a meal and a handshake and a hug with our friends and with our family. And you have given us such an awesome gift today, people. We love you and appreciate you for coming today and making our day so important, so special. But that's what friends and family do. Listen to what Paul encouraged us to do in Galatians 6 and verse 2. He said, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law." What law? The law of love. Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have a love one for another." That's the identifying mark of what Christians are. By God's design, you and I need each other. We've been designed to make it together. An awesome anchor. But then there's the anchor of physical stability. Paul told these men after they had gone through nearly 2 weeks of this pounding and this awesome storm, and they had eaten very little, he told them, he said, "You need to eat something." Amazingly, when these things hit and we were going through these storms, many times we just run our tank empty. And that doesn't do any good at all. When we get emotionally drained, we get physically weak, we can't sleep, and it just compounds the problems that we're having to face. One of the anchors whenever we're facing a storm is take care of yourself. Take care of yourself physically. That's what Paul said. In the midst of life storms, be sure to meet the needs of our physical body to maintain mental health, physical health, spiritual health. Many times people make the terrible mistake of, instead of turning to God, instead of taking care of themselves, they turn to other things, the bottle, drugs, and a whole lot worse than that. And those things they simply cover up for a moment. But they still got the problem. And now you've got another problem on top of that. So the anchor of taking care of yourself when you're in the midst of the storm is a vital and very important anchor. And then the fourth anchor is that of mental stability. Paul was in a storm, but he didn't waste his energy trying to deny that he was in a storm. So many times we spend so much time denying the problem. Paul faced reality. He didn't like it that he was in a 2-week storm. He didn't like it that they were way off course. He didn't like it because they ran aground and had to jump into the cold sea. But he didn't spend his time denying that there was a problem. See the problem. And realize that the solution is in turning to God, turning to others, taking care of yourself, seeking God's help. And then the final anchor this morning, when all of these other four anchors are in place, then we can seek to use the storm to accomplish the purposes of God. No matter what the storm in our life, God can use it for good. If our purpose has been to serve God and glorify God before the storm, then why should it change when we get in the storm? As we look to Paul for an example, he still prayed for the men. He comforted those. He encouraged them. He protected them. He gave them good advice. Paul in the storm was still working for God. And do not think for a moment that people aren't looking at you to see how you handle the storm. Well, she trusted in God before the storm, but now when the storm hit, she doesn't have any place for God in her life. He was all about church. How things were going good. But now look, he's got problems in his life. And he's forgotten about God. Don't think for a moment that people aren't watching how you handle your storms. God can still use you. In fact, people, I'm not so sure but that our greatest opportunity to glorify God is whenever we're in the midst of a storm. And so it is, if we'll get those anchors in place, when the storms of life hit, one thing we can absolutely know is that our God will bring us through it. I want to end this morning with a poem that I wrote whenever I was kind of in the midst of some storms in my life. I hope that sharing it with you will help you to realize as well that my God is always there. Tempted and tried as we travel life's road, troubles and sorrows, a burdensome load. Try as I will to shoulder the hurt, I stumble and fall with my face in the dirt. The way of all men, and so I've been told. But what hangs in the balance is my precious soul. I must get up. This truth I know. But I need some help. To whom can I go? My strength was almost gone as I walked up Calvary's road. My cross became so heavy, I fell beneath the load. These words my master spoke came to my heart that day. I knew that by his power that I could find the way. My worldly burdens made me weak, the master made me strong. And though I searched to find him, he had been there all along. Don't turn your back on your greatest strength, which is God Almighty, who loved us enough to give his Son to save our souls. If we can help you in any way with that relationship with your God, will you come while together we stand and sing?